tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Listen, do you want to know a secret?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to AfterBuzz. This is your after show for The Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 6, Episode 15, Secrets Revealed, Part 1. I'm your host, Megan Stecker. Grant is off tonight, and I also have with me...
Fern Ronay.
Fern, it's so good that you're here with me. I'm a little nervous, everybody. Bear with me. It's my first time in the driver's seat. Okay.
And I must say, you look gorgeous tonight.
Thank you.
You've got like the Melissa look going.
Yes. Yeah, so I came in and I said, oh my gosh, Fern, do my lips look like a goth
no,
chick?
No, I think it looks great. And your hair is perfect. It's very Melissa-esque.
Thank you. So I put on the dark lipstick that's really big for fall right now with the ladies. And Melissa rocked this during the season in her interviews.
She did.
So
she rocked everything.
Oh, she looked amazing.
She really did.
Her hair and makeup's really on point this year.
Yes.
And her wardrobe.
Yes.
She's fabulous. Yes. Yeah, so I'm a little Melissa inspired tonight. Okay. All right, so let's get into
get
it. So this is one of those cutting room floor episodes.
I'm so happy.
But it was almost like its own episode that
it
got
really
left
was.
Out.
Exactly. They should have put this in the beginning because it solidified the relationship with all the girls, with Bobby and Jim, with they should have just made it episode one.
They should have. I agree. Or it could have really been really early on in there. I mean, the Harvest Party was where everyone got introduced for the first time, and obviously there wasn't any drama yet.
Right.
So I feel like it could have been shortly after that. Like,
I agree.
Girls getting away, getting to know you trip. I'm not sure why they left it out.
Yeah.
And just another example of us thinking this is a sloppy season.
Yeah, quite a sloppy season.
Poo-poo.
Chopped up and handed to us.
So what we saw the ladies do was everybody's heading to Atlantic City. They're getting picked up in this big party bus right outside of their front doors. So we see Melissa and Teresa getting picked up at Teresa's house to go to Atlantic City. It's Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering where this trip falls between everybody getting to know each other at the Harvest Party and then the big fight at the First Responders Party. What do you
think? Right, because it was still cold when they went to the First Responders Party, right?
Yes, yes.
So I think they could have slipped this in right in between those so that we could see that, you know, before Bobby and Jim broke up as friends, we could have seen them. They seemed like they really enjoyed each other's company when they were out to dinner.
Yes.
There was all kinds of talk of, oh, she's such a good person. I love her. He's got a good soul. They're so much fun to hang out with. It would have been nice to see that and then see the friendship break up and feel it a little more.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened.
And where this trip really does lie in the timeline.
Yeah,
I want to say it was before the big blowout where they pulled out Amber's hair.
Yes, I think so. Yes. I think so, too. That would make sense. It would make sense in the whole, you know, story arc that they always try to build. But
did you find it weird that Teresa kept picking at Amber? Kept picking?
Yeah, I feel like it's been sort of revealed that Teresa is the naughtier twin, and she's definitely the twin that wants some screen time and wants a storyline. And she knows who's, you know, Amber's not the main character. She didn't want to, so she was able to kind of go after her and create a storyline. So, yeah, I think she was definitely going after her, for
sure.
We'll get more
into that for sure. So the ladies are all on the party bus. They're headed to the Revel Casino, which, side note, has closed within the past few months. It shut down due to bankruptcy. Can I just say, why does all this real estate trouble follow these ladies around?
Oh, my God. That's a good point.
Isn't that strange?
That is a good point. Yeah. Oh, God. I'm never inviting Teresa over.
Well, on a good side note, I did hear that they got bought for a bargain price. So maybe Revel will open again.
Have you been to Revel? Because you're from Philly.
Yes. I have not been to Revel. I've been to a few of the newer, bigger. I want to say I've been to the Borgata and the Water Club there. I did never go to Revel. I may have already been living here by the time it opened.
It looks pretty nice. And I heard great things about
beautiful.
The Borgata. I lived in Manhattan for years, and I think I went to Vegas 5 or 6 times and never, and I'm a Jersey girl, but never made it to Atlantic City, even though it's a drive away. But I heard nothing but good things about Revel. And so I hope somebody bought it. It looked like a great hotel.
I know.
I'd like to see Atlantic City revived again.
Yes. And it's so sad. You don't want to see any more jobs go away in that town and things go down. So
sure.
We love you, Jersey.
Yeah, we really do.
Burns home state.
We do, so.
Okay, so the ladies all kept talking about this entire episode. Kind of grossed me out to a certain point. They all had their periods. So guess what? They all really were friends in the beginning.
Right.
If you're all menstruating together at the same time, there's been all kinds of studies that show that when you're close with women, especially if you're sisters or you're living together, that you can all start menstruating at the same time.
You synchronize.
How it's gross. True.
And
how
they
gross.
Kept talking about it. It was like
over
enough.
And over. So we had Dina and Teresa getting ready together talking about how they had super tampons.
Right.
And problems in the
Dina toilet. Dina thought she had to go to the hospital.
and clogging the toilet and such.
Right, right.
Terrible. And then mentionings of, I hope my tampon string isn't hanging out. And
right.
I hope, I mean, it was a lot.
Yeah,
it was a lot of information.
But I felt like when they were all talking about it on the bus, I was like, they seem like they genuinely like each other right now.
Yes, and this is something I feel like we really were missing out on this whole season, was them being friends.
I agree. And then, there was a lot of period talk. And then there was a lot of sex talk that I was like, I really don't need to know this about them. Thank you.
I mean, it was too much. Okay. Do you have any period stories of that you were menstruating at the same time with friends or no?
Oh, I do. I feel like I do. Yeah, actually.
This is getting TMI. Sorry, everybody.
Well, since you asked, my best friend from home, we've been best friends since we're 2 years old, Ginger. Hi, Jen. She listens. I got my period on October 21st. I won't tell you the year. And she got hers 2 weeks later, and we're not related or not, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we always, from what I recall, we always synchronized, but I remember we got our periods 2 weeks. How about you? Apart from
each other. Yeah, in college I lived with sorority sisters and it would always happen. So I kind of, I was like, oh my God, they really do like each other. This is weird that it's all synchronized with them. I actually have a story of where we all got in a car together to go away for a girls' weekend. And there was like tension in the air and everyone was pissy and running late. And it come to find out everyone was on their period and just grossed out and couldn't handle each other and emotions running high.
It all makes sense. So by the end of the trip, were you all having fun?
Yes, we had a great time. But maybe these ladies were a little catty with each other because they weren't feeling their best.
Right, that's a good point. Right, that's a good point.
Your hormones and emotions are kind of out of control.
Point. Yeah. You could, like, strangle someone over the littlest thing.
It was a long roundabout way of getting there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. So Amber gets a little nasty when we see their first dinner with each other once they get there.
Yeah.
And everybody's drinking, having a good time. But they're kind of all holding back on getting college girl wasted.
Yeah.
And it seems like Amber's really slamming them back and kind of getting a little mad that everyone else isn't.
Right. She had some digs for people. Like for Dina, what did she say? I wrote it down. She said that she's as boring as the toast you get at Mass on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Dry as the toast
dry,
on
dry,
Sunday.
Dry, 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 right.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's like, what a dig. Like, she was giving people little digs after she was talking about, you know, how she plays Alana the prostitute in bed. I have to just say, her and her husband, nobody has made me cringe more on Real Housewives show than those two. When Jim had his whole talking head about, I'll depose you for 8 hours, I'll do this, I'll do that, cringe. I was like, what a freaking dork. And then her with this episode with the Alana, the prostitute, and she starts talking in the accent, I just cringed. I just felt like they're so dorky. I can't take it. But yeah, and then in between cringing, she was giving people digs for sure.
True. And I wonder if maybe that's where Teresa's when Teresa really started picking at her for the whole trip, maybe that's where it started. She was just annoyed with Amber from that moment on.
Yeah, that could be it. That could definitely be it.
It's just striking me now.
Yeah, and kind of Teresa and Melissa were kind of, you know, the calm ones in the conversation at dinner. So maybe Teresa picked up on, like, they're the queen bees and I'm not going to fight with them just yet. Mm-hmm. But I could get into it with Amber and give myself a storyline.
And I thought Amber seemed very gracious whenever Teresa would start picking at her. She just was kind of like, okay, I'll just let this happen. She didn't flip out in the way that we did see her flip out really early on in the season, but we're seeing things out of order. So I think she really lost her patience with the girls after this trip for sure.
Yeah, so if the first responders party was next, then it would make sense that she finally had it.
And that's why she was.
I have to give her credit because she, when they got into it at the at the blackjack table. We'll talk about that. And when they did the thing you're not supposed to do when you're drunk, what are your true thoughts on me? What did you think when you first met me, which is, what have you said about me behind my back, basically?
Right.
Which you don't do ever. And Amber just got up from the conversation because they were all kind of, nobody had anything nice to say. They were all saying, you're a know-it-all. And she just got up and walked away. So I have to give her credit for that.
Yeah. And she was just real. She said, I can't take this cattiness and the BS. Like, my head is spinning.
Yeah.
Trying to keep up with all their games.
Yeah.
And she was totally right. I always give Amber credit for being real.
Yeah.
She is on the real.
And she was, yeah, she had it and she walked away.
Yeah.
She didn't flip any tables or anything. Any of that nonsense.
All right. So they were all out drinking. Alana came out, Amber's stripper personality, who is Russian, apparently,
right.
And really likes to be tough with Jim in the bedroom, we're assuming. We do flash back to New Jersey, where all the kids are home with Joe at Teresa's house.
Yes.
And I thought that was so sweet. What did you think?
It was really sweet. It was so nice to see him cooking with the girls, watching a movie, that it kind of gave me a little bit of hope that maybe he will be Mr. Mom. Because originally when Teresa was saying he has to take care of my girls, be Mr. Mom, I just kept thinking, Joe Giudice is not capable. Like, he's not capable of being on top of the girls' schedules and knowing where to take them and when and making sure they have everything. But seeing him cooking with them and watching a movie with them, I was like, he might be able to do it. He might be able to pull it off. You know, he's going to need help from his family, but I felt hopeful.
Me
really
too.
Did. It was really cute.
I felt the exact same way. I thought, I had no idea he had any skills in the kitchen, and he's so... what's the word? So super affectionate with the girls.
Yes.
And I just thought, oh gosh, they have nothing to worry about. I am worried about him staying sober in the evenings in case anyone would be need to be picked up from a friend's house or dropped off somewhere, because
right,
he's
true.
Constantly admitting that over and over recently about his drinking problems. But I didn't realize he was, you know, he can cook the girls a meal.
Yeah.
You know, he can take them up to bed if they fall asleep on the couch. Like,
absolutely.
I he just have so much more faith in him. Good
yeah,
luck,
I
Joe.
Felt hopeful. Although Melania is a nightmare and she may kill someone, who knows, someday, because she's a Looney Tune. But
she
so she needs to kind of be disciplined and set straight. And I can't picture that ever happening. So watch your back for Melania in New Jersey.
Well, did you catch the blurb of Teresa saying, well, you know, I don't remember what I was like as a child, but everyone told me I was just like Melania. Yeah. And everyone says that Joe was just like Melania. I guess there's a little of us, of each of us in her. And I thought, well, that explains everything.
Right.
This is why Melania is a little terror.
Right.
And she also said that her mother tells her she's not strict with her kids. And like, you wonder why Melania is a nightmare.
Exactly. I wanted to be like, take your mother's advice.
Exactly.
They need to set her straight a little because, yeah.
She needs a good spanking.
Yeah, she needs, totally needs the wooden spoon on the hiney, on the coolie.
At least a timeout or some privileges taken away or something.
I agree.
Some, no video games.
I agree. But it was nice to see Joe be Mr. Mom.
It was. Well, back in Atlantic City, all of the girls are getting ready to go down to play blackjack for the evening. Getting back to our blackjack story with Teresa and Amber. The twins get very upset that everyone leaves to go down to the blackjack table. It would seem to me that there was a set time that everyone was supposed to be ready and head downstairs for filming, and that the twins weren't ready. Is that what you thought?
Yeah, I did. And I thought that, you know, this is the age of cell phones. Like, maybe, you know, the twins are ridiculous, and they probably took 3 hours to get ready. Okay, that's fine. But somebody, you know, Nicole did get them the room, and just to be gracious, and I hope they bought her dinner one night if it wasn't picked up for by the show. But that was really sweet, and I know she got it through work, but she used her connections. She did a lot of work to get it. So hopefully they were, you know, respectful. And they should have sent a text or knocked on the door and said, take your time getting ready. We're just going to go downstairs and play a few rounds of blackjack before, a few hands before dinner, before drinks. And I'm sure the twins would have been like, go ahead. And they would have been like, take your time. And it would have been fine. But because there was no communication, they got immediately pissed off.
Yeah.
They're a little quick to get pissed off about things.
Yeah.
So that's the other problem.
This surprised me because the whole season I kept saying, I don't see the twins doing anything. I'm not into them. Nothing's going on with them. I really don't like them. And if we would have seen this during the season in chronological order, I feel like I would have been way more into them and a storyline and being on their side or not on their side, and it would have been more into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Bravo took away our chance to get into undo it and put it at the end of the season as a cutting room floor episode? I still don't get it.
Yeah, it was another chance to get to know them. And even, you know, just one episode of getting to know them and seeing their personalities and them getting ready and this, you know, tension. And we didn't see it. So it was like odd to have it at the end now. But yeah. So I thought they should have said, we're going to be downstairs. And then they were wrong to get so mad about it.
Exactly. Because I've done the whole casino trips with the girlfriends for the weekends. It was like sorority sister reunion and bachelorette parties. And I had a friend who, she had just cut bangs. And she could not get them to be styled the way she wanted them. She didn't know how to style her bangs. And girl was like 45 minutes late for a dinner reservation. We all went without her. They're like, we'll be right behind you. We'll jump in the cab behind you. So it was the bride and the maid of honor who were 45 minutes late to like bachelorette night dinner. And it was just a mess. So it was one of those situations where you got to let people know where you're going to be and try to be on time and let people know if you're going to be late, go ahead without us. Because everybody did get upset with everybody.
Right.
So
exactly. I get it. Like you just have to communicate. And communicate in every relationship.
Well, so where I thought it went really wrong was Teresa picking on Amber for it. Why do you think that happened? I didn't get it at all.
It was funny how Teresa was the first. It's so funny how they really do have different personalities. Nicole didn't say a word that whole time at the blackjack table. Not a word. And Teresa came down, you know, said the thing she said about you girls leaving without us. And then she did, it did kind of seem like her eye, you know, her eye line was right for Amber, going right for Amber. And then she said her name.
Yes.
So, I don't know why she just has something, she has a problem with her. I think she picks up on, you know, Teresa and Dina kind of being the queen bee, so she can't get in there, you know, she can't have a problem with them just yet. And she just was picking on, it was like an alpha dog thing. She's kind of picking on Amber.
I see. I feel like it's becoming more crystal clear that, like, Teresa was really a bad guy, but we never got to see it.
Right.
And Nicole was a total sweetheart.
Right.
And they really were, they really made no separation between the two of them this year as a character. They were kept calling them the twins.
Right.
In everyone's one-on-one interview, if you notice, they keep calling them the twins. So I think Bravo did them a disservice by, you know, completely. It could be the good twin and the evil twin. How great is that for a show?
Exactly. That would have been awesome. But they made no distinction throughout the season until the end. And then it was like, oh, they are. They don't share a brain. No.
Come on, Andy. Cohen. Anyway.
No, evil twin. Oh, that would have been great. Maybe how next season.
I know. And you could see it so clearly in this episode.
Yeah.
And if you think to other episodes, you can kind of start seeing the distinction after we've seen this.
Right.
Ay, 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 Bravo.
Oh, so that was the Atlantic City trip I had been dying to see for some reason.
Well, okay, so the ladies get in the fight at the blackjack table, and then they head off to the burlesque.
Oh, that's right.
The burlesque, but they were all in different clothes.
Except so for Teresa. Wasn't Teresa in the same, in the black and blue?
Yeah, so everything was out of order and chopped
up.
So I'm wondering if this night was the night before they got in a fight at the blackjack
table.
Because
they were totally fine with each other.
Because they were loving on each other. Yes, the twins and Amber were loving on each other.
Completely.
So this may have been the evening before. Yeah. Actually, the night that the girls were taking shots, I think they were in the same clothes as they were at the burlesque dancing.
Okay.
So maybe they did burlesque dancing, then went to that dinner where Amber got a little crazy on shots.
Okay.
And the next night was the fight at the blackjack table.
Okay, that
is how
sense.
I think.
Andy
it really
Cohen,
went down.
You should just play them in chronological order because detectives like Megan and I will figure it out.
Let me tell you, my boyfriend can tell you I'm a pretty good detective, okay?
Are you an ID addict? Investigation Discovery? I love that channel. I'd love anything. Like, I heard you talking about true crime.
Oh, well,
putting the puzzle together.
Oh, yeah. So I'm super into this new podcast called Serial where it's like a murder. Like every week you're hearing more and more about the murder. So, yeah, I'm just super into being like a detective lately.
And people say like it's because I'm like, am I morbid? I'm like, no, I like putting the puzzle together. Even in a ridiculous Real Housewife, I have to put the puzzle together. They were wearing different outfits.
You know, us women have a sixth sense about a lot of things. We're good detectives, men.
We do.
That's why you don't get away with anything. Take my word for it. Okay.
Right, so they do the burlesque thing.
They do the burlesque thing, and Amber wins. She was just a woo-woo. Well, what do you think about, Teresa was also making nasty comments about Melissa the burlesque dancing. So she said, go ahead. What did she say?
She said something like, supposedly there were rumors that Melissa was a stripper.
Oh, yeah. She said, well, Melissa has the advantage because she's already been a stripper.
And she said something like, it's not like any of us ever worked in a strip joint or something like that.
Right.
But did she say it? in Melissa's earshot?
I think she did not. I think it was set over on her end of the stage while right. Melissa was over on her end of the stage right. with the other girls. So I do like that we saw Amber defend her. In Amber's yes. like one-on-one interview, she said, everyone knows that Melissa was not a stripper. She was the bartender. And the best part was seeing Melissa's terrible dance moves right. to prove that she's never been a stripper.
Right.
Good job, Melissa.
It's true. She oh really could not dance. She was like kind of stumbling.
What did you think? I mean, their routine was like scaring me.
It was It was awkward. Yeah.
I know. It's so funny because these women all brag about how they're so good in bed all the time and all the sex they're having with their husbands. And then I'm like, girls, those are her moves. I mean, Amber had it down. Amber's
Amber
obviously
did
a,
have it down.
A tiger.
She deserved to win.
Yes, a tiger in the bedroom. Yeah. She was. Well, okay. So the ladies get back to the room and change into their PJs and they're drinking. I'm not sure at this point what night this is and what has already occurred during the day, but they've already been drinking, they continue to drink, and they decide to do the worst possible thing that girls can do to each other. They decide
especially
to,
with drinks.
Yes. They decide to ask each other, what was your first impression of me?
Big mistake. Big mistake.
What could go wrong there? Tell me, Fern, what could go wrong there?
It was interesting how she said to Dina, you know, well, this was Nicole, actually, so it wasn't Teresa saying this. Nicole said, oh, yeah. didn't like, and she said she thought Dina was a nice princess. Mm-hmm. But then they didn't talk more about it. Like, if I were Dina, I'd be like, well, no, actually they did. Dina said, you know, I was trying when I first met you, I was trying to talk to you, but then people were coming over, there were, in her words, tits everywhere.
Yes.
So I guess that was her way of saying, you know, maybe I was a little standoffish because I was a little overwhelmed. So that was, you know, Nicole was a little bit of the nasty one there.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, they kind of got over that, and then they went on to Amber. And nobody seems to have anything that, you know, like if you say to someone, I think you're a know-it-all sometimes, if this person is your friend, say, but, you know, it's part of your personality that sometimes we also love about you, and, you know, you can be so funny, and we know you're a good person. But mm-hmm. nobody said, unless it was edited out, but nobody seems to be saying anything ultimately, in the end, nice about Amber. It was all, she's a know-it-all, a bunch of other things. So she just had it and got it. And I give her credit. She mm-hmm. said, what am I sitting here taking this for? And she got up and left. I don't blame her.
Well, it was funny to me. She took it really well. And she, I think Melissa had said it to her maybe. And she's like, honestly, I don't take that badly because I think I am a know-it-all. And I do know everything.
She said, I do know it all.
So yeah. She was gracious about it. But then She said to the twins, you know, I got to tell you, girls, I feel like I'm really being attacked here, and I want to punch you.
Yeah.
And that set Teresa off because then Teresa says to her, you know what? She said to Teresa, you know, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt. I think you just speak without thinking about it. She said, no. I think about what I say, and I say it. And if I want to insult you, I mean to insult you. And got right. And you saw the switch flip right there right. in her eyes, I thought. And right. she got nasty, and I
very
thought,
nasty.
God, here we go again.
Yeah. Ugh. And it seemed like, and so then what happened after, like, it seemed like Amber didn't feed into that. She was just like, that's it.
Well, she got a little defensive, and she said, they cut to her interview where she said, right. I felt like, why am I going to keep putting myself in this position where it's so much confrontation? Right, so I decided right. to just call it a night. So that's when you saw her say, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed, girls. She kissed and said goodnight to everyone except Teresa,
yes.
which Teresa totally deserved.
Right.
And she went to bed, yeah. which I thought was a good thing. She yeah. took herself out of the situation. And it's like I give her so much more credit now knowing this is how things went
exactly.
down in this season.
Exactly.
She wasn't this evil catty beast from the beginning that we were led to believe.
Right.
She was picked on.
Right.
So she was just a little sensitive yeah. any other time that stuff came up.
Yeah, I wish we had seen this before the first responders party. Mm-hmm. Then we'd know why, you know, why there was this.
Right. I mean, Teresa's the real villain of this
yeah,
season
really
is what
is.
We're seeing.
Yeah, because at the first responder party, it was Nicole ripping out Amber's hair.
Yeah.
But now I think Nicole's the sweet one.
There's just a lot going on. And
yeah.
I think it would have been a good idea to play them as the good twin and the bad twin.
Either
Come
way,
on.
Yeah, it would have worked.
So that was Atlantic City.
Yeah, AC.
Could have been a whole episode on its own. Andy, Bravo.
Yeah, Andy.
Production company.
And you can't get one over on us.
So honestly, there was no wrap-up to this whole thing.
No.
We went to commercial break and we come back and we're just back in New Jersey.
Right.
So back in New Jersey, Andy's little voiceover tells us that, oh, by the way, we're going to show you a little footage of when everybody used to be friends and love each other. So this is the footage we have been missing and needed to see as a viewer to build our opinions on and start loving people before we hated them and actually figure out why they hated each other and ripped each other's hair out.
Would have been nice.
So we're going to dinner with Jim and Amber. Mm-hmm. And Nicole and Bobby. Mm-hmm. We see Nicole and Bobby waiting for them at a restaurant and complaining that Jim and Amber are late. Right. And Nicole says, she's always late, she's always late. And Bobby blames it on Jim and said maybe they're having a little sexy time, which I thought was funny. I thought it was the sweetest thing to see how much they were getting along and how much they liked each other.
They really genuinely seemed – the other genuine moment was with Dina and Tariq. You know, you can tell – you can kind of tell when things really, like, feel – real.
Yeah.
So Dina and Teresa in bed that night. They were so cute. You could tell that they're really good friends. And then at this dinner, it was another genuine, I felt like they really were friends. They really liked each other. And they were really, you know, it kind of was like, even if the cameras weren't there, they would have still had fun, had a great dinner, laughed. They seemed like true friends.
They really did. What did you think of Bobby's, like, sexy and sexiness vocabulary explanation?
I was like, am I missing out on the new lingo? And then I was like, happy to learn. It sounds like that's just Bobby. Like, if somebody, like, pours him, like, a nice cup of coffee, he's like, that's sexy. Like, you're sexy. So he says it to everyone. Or is this, like, a thing that I'm missing out on? I was like,
I don't say it. I think I might start saying it. I like that. I like that. This is sexy.
Okay. So maybe – so it wasn't like –
well, apparently –
maybe it's a Jersey thing, and I haven't lived in New Jersey,
in a long time. If you – yeah, maybe if you spend some time back at home, everybody –
for Thanksgiving.
Maybe everyone at Dunkin' Donuts is calling everything sexy.
Yeah, maybe. I'll throw it out there.
Well, apparently even banana bread is sexy. So – but you've
got
to –
that is so funny that was his example.
But you've got to earn your sexy, too. Right. Don't forget that part. Right. I love that. Well, I thought it was sweet that they were giving toasts to each other. And Nicole said about Amber, I have a true friendship with Amber. She has a good heart and a good soul.
Yeah.
I put that in quotes. I thought it was so sweet.
And it seemed real. Like, she really – it didn't seem like she was saying it just to say it. It seemed like a genuine comment that she mm-hmm. really felt like – felt that way about her at mm-hmm. some point. So it makes me so sad that they're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
And four of them, even the guys. Like, it's sad when even the guys aren't friends.
Really, it really is. So right after, you know, assuming soon after this was the first responders party and the Jim and Bobby forever breakup. I think it's going to be forever at this point after everything we've seen go down on Twitter. And it looks like from what we've seen of the reunion, there's definitely a screaming match going on. So don't think there's any making up in that corner.
I don't think there's any more foursome dinners.
No.
Which is sad.
No.
They seem to really like each other. That was a sad thing.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we got to see that as well, which was nice, even though it's at the end of the season. Okay. So we also get to see Kathy and Teresa and Dina going out to lunch together or having coffee. I think it was lunch. Right.
Yeah.
They all had salads.
Yeah, I saw salads.
Okay.
They looked good.
Okay, so it looks like it's also Christmas time still at this mm-hmm. point because I saw a Christmas wreath hanging behind Dina's head in some of the shots.
Love it.
Fern's like, I totally saw that too. Gosh, we're such
detectives.
They
can't get one over on us.
Jeez, the FBI needs to hire us. I'm telling you what. It's just a woman thing. Okay.
So it was shortly after the cousin's dinner.
Yes, so it's definitely Christmas time. Still in the, could be right around New Year's, but it's definitely was not that long after they probably did mm-hmm. the cousin's gift exchange
right.
in which Teresa gets the dictionary as a joke from Kathy. Now, apparently Teresa's upset about this because in past seasons, Kathy has said about her but not to her face that she can't speak English or, like, say the right words or you're making up dumb words or whatever that got Teresa upset. Teresa pulls a Danielle and whips out this giant, like, ancient –
which is not the gift she got.
No, this ancient Bible-sized dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, to say that she's really annoyed with Kathy – about this gag gift, that she knows it was specifically for her and it's so rude and she's so uncomfortable about it. I feel like she was put up to this because it was not the exact same dictionary.
Right.
I feel like Teresa wouldn't even have the common sense to, like, bring it with her to the lunch even if she was going to pick a fight about it.
Right, right. Yeah, it was totally set up. It was totally ridiculous. It was one of those moments that didn't feel genuine. It was, you know, kind of set up by the producers and wasn't even the right dictionary.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, Kathy was asking her to write the blurb and she had to do the whole thing. Blurb, what does that mean? And look it up. And, you know, it was totally put on. But I do think, you know, I'm a Libra, so the scale, I have to see the other side. From Teresa's point of view, I would think, Who are we kidding? You know, Rosie and Kathy talked about Teresa before the Christmas party and said she uses words like ingredients. Everyone in America knows the girl can't speak English. It would be funny if we got her a dictionary. Buy the dictionary. When we do the gifts, make sure Teresa gets it. Like, you know, kind of know
it
that happened.
It was obviously set up. But I felt like Teresa took it way too far.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kathy, I do see it yeah. from both sides, like you're saying.
But Kathy was right. No matter what it's about, if she says something, it does seem like Teresa then all like has to say this is about her. She has to take offense to it in some way.
Yes. So she doesn't take anything Kathy says at face value is what Kathy kept saying. I thought it was a great argument between the two of them. Both made really great points. I think Kathy wins the fight just because she's right. Teresa will always make something out of nothing with Kathy. I'm really not sure why Teresa can't stand Kathy. It must be something old from right before they got on the show together.
Yeah.
Or she's mad that Kathy's on the show, but we don't exactly know why.
Yeah.
And she just won't let it die. So she uses every opportunity to try to embarrass her.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just got to say, I thought it was petty and childish. And
yeah, it was. It was. She
should have
just, if she really was offended, if Teresa really was offended, she should have just forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy's example, if I said there's a full moon out, you would take offense to it and say, you know.
And say, why do I have a fat ass?
So she, it's true. Yeah. And I think, I think she hates that Kathy got on the show, was on Melissa's side from the beginning, and she'll never forgive her for it.
That's a good point. Yeah. The Melissa thing. Yeah. I did forget all about that. Well, so she's not going to write the blurb for her own cousin's book. So rude. I mean, it's the least she could do.
Is the book out? I want to see if she did eventually write it, because that's nasty if she didn't
Google
write
this.
It. Yeah, that's not nice.
That is rude. Well, you know what? Since Teresa's now a convicted criminal, maybe it's better that she does not have her blurb on her cookbook. Just saying. Well, it's like Teresa's always trying to flip the tables on Kathy.
Right.
Get it? Flip the tables.
Good one.
But it's like it didn't work here. I think she's just – you know, she is petty and childish. She's always in denial, and that's why she's going to prison, because she's always in denial of everything.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of going to prison, why don't we get into our news and gossip?
AfterBuzz TV News.
Go ahead, Fern. What you got for me?
So, our wonderful Judices, Teresa and Joe, celebrated their 15-year wedding anniversary. I got to give them credit. 15 years. That's very nice. She's going away for each month of the year.
Fern, you're so smart. Yeah, she's going to be serving 1 month per every year that they've been married. There you go. What an anniversary gift.
15 months in the big house for 15 years in the big house. So she tweeted, or she put a picture on Instagram of them celebrating their, you know, going out to dinner, celebrating their anniversary. And she had somebody pointed out a Hermes bracelet. So, like you said, like, she just doesn't care.
I feel like she doesn't care anymore. Yeah. It's like, I'll flaunt whatever I want. I'm already convicted of it.
Yeah.
How much do those bracelets run, do you know?
I don't know. It was pretty.
I always say on the show, I'm like, I'm so not materialistic. I have no idea how much those bracelets are. I'm going to assume, since it's a status symbol thing, at least two G's. I don't know.
Probably.
It's got to be over $1,000 to be a status symbol,
So there she was with her, but she had her, I noticed her fake, so she says fake diamond earrings and her mace bracelet.
Ugh, please.
Yeah, and then also, well, Dina Manzo was on Watch What Happens Live.
She was.
And she noted that her and her brother Chris are, you know, they no longer have a relationship. They were trying to get together. Chris, you know, after she broke up with Tommy, Chris wanted to reach out and meet up with her, and she said someone kind of put the kibosh on that. And then Jacqueline tweeted, no, I did not put the kibosh on that,
in their own words. So did Dina come
Dina
back?
Dina came back, and, well, Dina tweeted after and said, maybe if Jacqueline would get off Twitter and stay out of it, my brother and I can one day mend. Done, in capital letters, done with this. Dina's always done with it.
Oh, well, everybody's always done on this show. I love it. I'm done.
So who knows what the original fight was about, but they're still fighting.
Wow. I would love to know. Dina, spill it already. Ugh. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's mine.
Okay. So while Dina was on Watch What Happens Live last night, a caller asked her if she feels responsible for perpetuating the Victoria Gotti rumor about Reno sleeping with his mother-in-law, and she said no. This got me dying. Okay, in quotes, I wrote it down. I wanted to do it off camera, but you're not allowed to do that. So she's basically outing the fact that they're really not supposed to contact each other off camera to have any.
Andy, like.
So Andy says nothing. He goes, mm-hmm, and then moves on to the next thing. He took another caller or asked her another question or moved on to a game or something. And I thought, look how he just glossed over that. I feel like the girls have really been selling him out this year. I mean, Teresa's saying in her legal paperwork, like, this show is scripted and they tell me what to say and.
They really have been. Wow. Oh, Andy.
He also asked her, are you glad you came back? And she just replied with a big smile and then a giggle. So I think that's a no. And I don't think Dina will be back next year.
She probably just did it for the money. She's getting divorced. She's got to get a house. And,
you're right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we will get some more insight during the reunion.
Yeah.
Maybe he asked her about
that. I feel like Dina's on and we know nothing.
We know nothing. Ugh.
Other than tries to be zen, even though she calls everyone in AC white trash. I had to rewind that. I was like, did she just say white trash?
I wrote it down. What did she say? They were a melting pot of white trash in Atlantic City.
I rewound it. I was like, if you're searching for Buddha, you don't want to call anyone white trash.
Well, she's zen enough to speak her mind, that's for sure. Okay, Teresa's crisis manager quit on her. Her name's Wendy Feldman. She got really mad that Teresa wrote a letter to the court system asking what prison to go to. She wants to be sent to a prison in Connecticut, which Orange is the New Black is based off of. I believe this is the Danbury, Connecticut prison.
Right.
ABC News is reporting that she is expected to serve her time there, which to me, wouldn't you want to go to Camp Cupcake in West Virginia where Martha Stewart, that was also widely talked about that she might go there.
Right. I'm not surprised she wanted to go to, I think she wanted to go to the Connecticut one because it's close to North Jersey. You know, her kids could get there every weekend. As opposed to maybe a nicer one in West Virginia. But they're both federal. I think ultimately, I think, wasn't she asking to go to a halfway house where she could kind of come home on the weekends? And they said no to that.
I'm not sure about that. I did hear that she has to live in a halfway house for 2 months after her 15-month sentence. Okay. So it's like she's expected to go out and get a job during the day and then go sleep in this halfway house at night, so not even be with the kids.
Right.
And she is trying to get that completely revoked. Like, she is.
And I don't blame her. Crisis manager for quitting. I'm surprised she didn't quit so long ago because it sounds like this woman, from her statement, has been trying to get through to Teresa and she just does not take her recommendations. And,
I mean, she really sold her. Yeah. Could not wait to drag her through the mud publicly, this woman, Wendy. So
she had it.
Teresa, you were outed, girl. Okay. And then the anniversary date they went on because they're still so in love. Even though Joe's sending his wife to prison, they are so in love.
They actually got married in my hometown of Belleville, New Jersey at Nanina's in the park.
There you
really
go.
Nice place.
There's something to be known for. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into our predictions for next week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, Fern, what is going to happen? First of our three-part series for the reunion.
I predict that everyone's going to cry, including Andy, because we kind of saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you never see Andy get emotional about, you know, he's kind of just like, you know, this is his thing. This is his job. This is, he created it. He's so proud of the Housewives franchise, it seems like. But he gets emotional, and I want to see it play out. So I predict lots of tears from everyone.
I'm wondering if maybe this first episode's going to be really catty. Then we'll have more of like a subdued, like tearful, or maybe that'll be part three. Like more of like the subdued, tearful, Teresa may never be back sort of situation on episode three.
Okay.
I mean, they're obviously going to focus a lot on the fact that Teresa's going away and we're all so sad about it. Because they did tape this. Not even kidding, like 2 days after they were sentenced.
Right.
I mean, imagine having to go to a Housewives reunion, which has to be the most emotionally exhausting thing ever, next to being sentenced to federal prison, which they had to do 48 hours later.
Right.
I do not know how Teresa has not had a complete mental breakdown and is not wrapped up in a white jacket somewhere.
I don't know. I don't know. I would have been hauled off. She is – I'll give her a few things. She's not lazy and she can be very strong. Maybe part of her strength is because she doesn't – process things and realize things, so maybe that works to her benefit. But a thinking person, I think, would be just have a nervous breakdown and be locked away.
I could not handle it.
But she was 48 hours later, dressed up, all dolled up, hair, makeup, sparkly dress.
Oh my god, she looked like she was in Miss America pageant.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you think the tears aren't going to happen next week?
I'm wondering if we're going to go for a caddy. I'm just not sure. I'm terrible with these predictions. I have been every week, and I'll admit it, and I'm not scared to admit it. Oh, my God. Okay. So I just want to say we may be – everybody needs to tune in for the next 3 weeks because we may be having a very special visitor or caller, and I just want everyone to make sure they keep staying tuned in. All right, guys, so thank you.
Episodes.
Yes, three more episodes this season. Maybe one more cutting room floor after that. Secrets Revealed Part 2, I'm assuming, because this was Part 1. So thank you guys so much for all of your YouTube comments. Keep them coming. I really enjoyed conversing with you guys this week. And Fern, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Fern Ronay. It's FernRonay. And on Facebook at Fern Ronay on my fan page where I share all kinds of personal nonsense.
I love it. Okay, and you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Megan Stecher. It's MEGANSTECHER. Tweet us your comments, guys. We love speaking with you. We will rehash next week, Reunion Part 1, right here on AfterBuzz, your after show network.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.